decidedly Christian, distinctly biblical, and just a little bit nuts. This is Squirrel Chatter.
And welcome to the Piney Woods, ladies and gentlemen. I am your squirrel, the host. Good to have you with us here on this Wednesday morning, the 3rd of November. It's a wonderful day. Fairly interesting election results coming in from certain elections around the country. I'll leave that for the political pundits to comment on, but I'm pleased by the way things seem to be shaping out. I apologize to those of you who weren't expecting to hear from me this morning, because I said on Monday that there wasn't going to be a squirrel chatter today because I had a bus trip that was supposed to leave half an hour ago. That bus trip got canceled, so I don't have anywhere to go today, at least as far as the school bus goes. And I mentioned that on social media yesterday, but I forgot to mention it here, that I would be here today and we would be doing Squirrel Chatter. So we're here. It's Wednesday and it's Squirrel Chatter. We are continuing to talk about evangelism, the sharing of the good news. And it is every Christian's duty and every Christian's responsibility to be obedient and to share the gospel. And in talking about that subject today, I wanted to talk about the parable of the sower and the seed, which is Jesus's primary teaching on evangelism. And it's not so much a how to do evangelism as a how evangelism works. And you're going to get this parable twice today because I'm going to be looking at it from the Gospel of Mark right now. And then when we get to our reading in Matthew, we'll actually start out with Matthew chapter 13, which contains, again, the parable of the sower and the seed. So you're going to hear it twice today, but I want to read through it from Mark and then just talk about it a little bit. All right. Find a place to put my coffee cup. My desk is a mess, and I need to clean it up because I have stuff everywhere. All right, we'll move that over there, move that there. I got my coffee cup settled, and we'll go to the Gospel of Mark. This is Mark chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 21, I believe. And Jesus began to teach again by the sea, and such a very large crowd gathered to him that he got into a boat in the sea and sat down. And the whole crowd was by the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables, and was saying to them in his teaching, "Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. And it happened that as he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And other seed fell on the rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after the sun rose, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. And other seeds fell onto the good soil. As they grew up and increased, they were yielding a crop and produced 30, 60, and 100-fold. And he was saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when he was alone, his followers, along with the 12, began asking him about the parables. And he was saying to them, "To you it has been given the mystery of the kingdom of God, but to those who are outside, everything comes in parables, so that while seeing they may see and not perceive, and while hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they return and be forgiven." And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. And these are the ones who are beside the road where the word is sown. When they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. And in a similar way, these are the ones being sown on the rocky places, those who, when hearing the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are those being sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for anything else enters in and chokes the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And those are the ones which were sown on the good soil, they who hear the word and accept it and are bearing fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. So this is Jesus' teaching on evangelism. And what he is saying is, it is the evangelist's duty to spread the word, and to spread the word indiscriminately on the path, in the rocky soil, in the weeds, in the good soil. And the reason that the sower spreads the word indiscriminately is, unlike a farmer in the field, when we look at a farmer in the field can tell where it's been plowed, he can tell where the path is, he can tell where the rocks are, where the thorns are, so he knows where to sow the seed. But we don't have that advantage when we look at people. We don't know who is which type of soil. And so we spread the word indiscriminately. We proclaim the gospel to any and all who will listen. The people then react in different ways. First, there are those who, immediately when they hear the word, Satan comes and takes the word which has been sown in them. These are the people that are so wedded to the world system that they don't even give the gospel a second thought. They are convinced of a secular worldview or of a false religion to the extent that they don't even hear you. They don't even listen. Satan immediately has blinded their eyes, and it's instantly when the word is proclaimed to them, Satan takes it away, and they are completely blinded to it. So that's one type of person. They don't react at all, or they react negatively to the hearing of the word. Don't want to hear it, don't want to have anything to do with it. They want to walk away. And then there are those in the rocky places. There are people who will hear the word and who will respond, or seemingly respond, with belief. They like what they're hearing. The trouble is, they have no root. They're on the rocky soil. The word hits them, and they respond to it, but they don't have any depth to them. And when it's not convenient to be a Christian, they fall away. Jesus says they're only temporary, and when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So they may hear you, and they may respond with interest, but then they get with their friends who want nothing to do with the gospel and who are mocking Christianity, and they don't want to be mocked by their friends or by people in the world. So they immediately fall away. They're not the absolute disinterest of the first group, but they really want nothing to do with Christianity if it's going to cost them anything. And so they fall away. And then there are those who are sown among the thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for anything else enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So these are people that hear the word of God. They hear the gospel. But, you know, that's for later in life. You know, right now I got to worry about my job, my making money. I gotta, you know, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for material gain. These are the people that are so caught up in the world that and what they can gain in this life that they give no thought to the next life. And so they may hear the word, but they have no desire to follow The word chokes them out. And then there are those who are the good soil, who hear the word and bear fruit. John MacArthur put it this way. He said, in all of these cases, the first case bears no, it doesn't even sprout. In the second and third case, so the one on the path doesn't even sprout because immediately Satan takes it away. In the second and third case, the thorns and the rocky soil, you get some plant growth. You get foliage. But then the plant withers and dies. It's only in the fourth soil that you see fruit born. And the figures for bearing fruit that Jesus brings forth are astonishing to farmers. 30, 60, and 100-fold. No farmer would ever expect to get a return like that from his fields. So when the gospel bears fruit, it bears much fruit. And so this is the saved person. So of the four types of persons that the word is sown to, only one responds with faith and repentance and fruit. And that's the word that falls on the good soil. So as you evangelize, remember these four types of soil. And it's God who determines who responds what way. In fact, on Friday, I want to look at the Gospel of John, where Jesus talks about, you know, who can come and who can't to him. But this is, you know, this gives you hope as you spread the word, spread it everywhere, spread it to everyone. There's no need to worry about how someone is going to respond, because that's not your job. You can't make somebody respond to the gospel. Now, the interesting thing about the parable and the sowers and the seeds is it is counter to modern church growth techniques, modern pragmatic church growth philosophy. Because modern pragmatic church growth philosophy says if someone doesn't respond to the word, you need to change the word. You need to find each person's hook, each person's felt need. There's a way to draw each person in. You just need to find out how to appeal to them. Well, that's counter to what Jesus says. The word remains the same. We can't change the message. James White has famously said, the gospel is ours to proclaim, not to edit. We have a message from God. That is what we are to proclaim. And if we proclaim that message, not everybody is going to respond positively. Indeed, a lot of people will respond negatively. And that's how you end up with persecution. People don't want to hear it. We talked about that earlier in the week, about how it's people's pride. It's hard to admit you need to be saved. Most people don't want to admit they're sinners in need of salvation. And so that is part and parcel with it. So as you think about evangelism, think about the sower and the seed. Think about the fact that in the sower and the seed, you see the different responses are characteristic of the heart of the hearer, not the message being proclaimed. Know the gospel, proclaim the gospel faithfully. The results of your proclamation are in God's hands, and he can be trusted with that. So it's not our job to make anybody believe. It's not our job to convince anybody of the fruit of the truth of our proclamation. We should be able to give reasons why we believe it's true, and give an answer to those who ask for the hope that lies within us. Why are you so hopeful? We should be able to answer some of those questions. And one of the best answers is, you know, I don't know, but let me find out, because you and I are not going to know everything. There are resources out there, but each one of us is not a brilliant Bible scholar with perfect recall where we can come up with a... I'm one of those guys, and I don't know if this will resonate with you. I'm one of those guys who will have a discussion with somebody about biblical matters or about any topic, really, and where we disagree and we're having, you know, a discussion on a disagreement. And 45 minutes later, as I'm in the car driving down the road, all of a sudden, the perfect thing I should have said pops into my head. Never seems to pop into my head right at the time. So if you're like me, you know, that's a good time to say, you know, I'm not sure about that, but let me check. Or I'm sure this is the way it is, but I can't give you a reason right now. Let me look it up and we'll get together for coffee later in the week. Evangelism, you know, there's different aspects of evangelism. Sometimes you need to have an answer right now. Sometimes you don't have an answer and you just need to say, we're going to wait on that, but I'm glad to talk to you about it further. So the sower and the seeds, think about that one. Okay, let's get into our Bible reading as we are continuing to read through the New Testament in the Legacy Standard Bible. And this month, the full text of the Bible should be shipped out. They were saying something either the week of Thanksgiving or the week after, so it's going to be the end of the month. But I'm still like, I want my new Bible! It's coming. All right. Let's begin with a word of prayer. O Lord, our governor, whose glory fills all the world, we commend this nation to your merciful care, that we may be guided by your providence and dwell secure in your peace. Grant to the president of this nation, the governor of the state, and to all in authority, wisdom and strength to know and to do your will. Fill them with the love of truth and righteousness, and make them continually mindful of their calling to serve this people in reverent obedience to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Almighty and most merciful Father, we have erred and strayed from thy ways like lost sheep. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against thy holy laws. We have left undone those things which we ought to have done, and we have done those things which we ought not to have done, and there is no health in us. But thou, O Lord, have mercy upon us miserable offenders. Spare thou them, O God, which confess their faults. Restore thou them that are penitent, according to thy promises declared unto mankind in Christ Jesus our Lord. And grant, O most merciful Father, for his sake, that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life, to the glory of thy holy name. Amen. Blessed Lord, who has caused all holy scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay, turning to Matthew chapters 13 and 14. Excuse me just a moment. Let me clear my throat before we begin. All right, Matthew chapter 13. Again, reading from the Legacy Standard Bible. On that day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him. So he got into a boat and sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. And others fell on the rocky places, where they did not have much soil. And immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and were yielding a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear. And they have closed their eyes, lest they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom the seed was sown beside the road. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but is only temporary. And when affliction or persecution arise, because of the word, immediately he falls away. Excuse me. And the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed on his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. But when the wheat sprouted and bore grain, then the tares became evident also. The slaves of the landowner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, An enemy has done this. The slaves said to them, Do you want us then to go up and gather them up? But he said, No, for while you are gathering up the tares, you may uproot the wheat with them. Allow both to grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather up the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them up, but gather the wheat into my barn. He presented another parable to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. And this is the smallest of all seeds. But when it is fully grown, it is the largest of the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. He spoke another parable to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in the 3 sata of flour until it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the crowds in parables, and he was not speaking to them without a parable, so that what was spoken through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, I will open my mouth in parables, I will utter things hidden since the foundation of the world. Then he left the crowds and went into the house, and his disciples came to him and said, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said, The one who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And as for the good seed, these are the sons of the kingdom, and the tares are the sons of the evil one. And the enemy who sows them is the devil. And the harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. So just as the tares are gathered up and burned with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness, and will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, which a man found and hid again. And from joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking fine pearls. And upon finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet cast into the sea and gathering fish of every kind. And when it was filled, they drew it up on the beach, and they sat down and gathered the good fish into containers, but the bad they threw away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and take out the wicked from among the righteous, and will throw them into the fiery furnace, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? They said to him, yes. And he said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like a head of the household, who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it happened that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there, and he came to his hometown and began teaching them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished. And he said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they were taking offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Chapter 14. At that time, Herod the Tetrarch heard the news about Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He has risen from the dead, and that is why miraculous powers are at work in him. For when Herod had John arrested, he bound him and put him in prison because of Herodias, the wife of his brother Philip. For John had been saying to him, it is not lawful for you to have her. And although Herod wanted to put him to death, he feared the crowd because they were regarding John as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before them and pleased Herod, so much that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she asked. Now, having been prompted by her mother, she said, give me here on a platter the head of John the Baptist. And although he was grieved, the king commanded it to be given, because of his oaths and because of his dinner guests. And he sent and had John beheaded in the prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And his disciples came and took away the body and buried it. And they went and reported to Jesus. Now when Jesus heard about John, he withdrew from there in a boat to a desolate place by himself. And when the crowds heard of this, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when he went ashore, he saw a large crowd and felt compassion for them and healed their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, this place is desolate, and the hour is already late. So send the crowds away, that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. But they said to him, we have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, bring them here to me. And ordering the crowds to sit down on the grass, he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up toward heaven, he blessed the food, and breaking the loaves, he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowd, and they all ate and were satisfied. They picked up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 full baskets, and there were about 5,000 men who ate, besides women and children. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side, while he sent the crowds away. And after he had sent the crowds away, he went up on a mountain by himself to pray. And when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already many stadia away from the land, being battered by the waves. for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night he came to them walking on the sea. Now when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And getting out of the boat, Peter walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind stopped. And those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are truly God's Son." And when they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret. And when the men of the place recognized him, they sent word into all the surrounding district and brought to him all who were sick. And they were pleading with him that they might just touch the fringe of his garment, and as many as touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord. Well, thank you again for being with me here. We'll have another Squirrel Chatter tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to be our Theology Thursday as we look at the 1689 Confession, continue looking through that. Friday, I do have a bus trip. We will have a Squirrel Chatter, but it'll be a short one. We'll just be doing our Bible reading because I have to leave early to get to the school and get my bus ready. So we'll have a full episode tomorrow. We'll have a short episode on Friday. So enjoy your Wednesday. Do the things you ought to do. Don't do the things you ought not to do. Whatever you do, do it under the glory of the Lord. And I hope to see you again here tomorrow for another episode of Squirrel Chatter. Take care. God bless.
Squirrel Chatter is recorded in front of a live studio hamster.